CliffCentral.com.
All right, gorgeous, sexy people. Are you ready for Wednesday? Because Wednesday's coming at you, whether you like it or not.
Bring him.
Yeah, before you know it, it'll be the weekend. Stay in City do this very cool thing where, you know, in South Africa, we often talk about the disparities. You've got this wealthy neighborhood of Sandton, and then right next door, you've got this poor neighborhood of Alexandra Township. And, you know, we are a country of dichotomies, and there are a lot of countries like that in the world. Brazil's like that. India's like that. There are parts of China where you have very, very, very rich people living right next door to very, very poor people. It happens. But you know what's nice is that the people who have sometimes feel a need to do something for the people who don't, and they do the best they can by trying to help out. And Steyn City is doing this. They are right next door to Diepsloot, obviously. They've celebrated the fifth anniversary of their community care initiative, which is called Delivering Happiness to Diepsloot. And this year, the children were gifted school bags with stationery, sweets, and toys. And on the line is Giuseppe Plumari, who's the CEO of Steyn City Properties. Giuseppe, let's talk to you and find out what's going on here, because I think I've got the detail right there, but maybe you can correct me where I'm wrong. Nice to talk to you.
Sorry.
Hey, Giuseppe, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Is that Gareth?
Yes, it is.
Good morning, Gareth, and good morning to the listeners.
Right. Giuseppe, we were just talking about the Steyn City delivering happiness to Diepsloot, and apparently you've got these amazing initiatives taking place today. You've got Tibo Touch there, you've got Maps Maponyane. What's happening?
Well, it's our fifth consecutive year now that we're delivering happiness to Diepsloot, and what it is, you know, we're trying to make a difference to approximately 10,000 new learners in Diepsloot. And we've got these beautiful bags with punches built into them, with a lot of stationery and a little bit of food and all that. And hopefully we'll make a difference to all those school children there.
It sounds terrific. Are you guys able to hand out 10,000 of these things in one day? That sounds incredible.
Incredible. We've got buses and we've got truckloads of all these goodies. And we're tackling all the primary school and pre-primary school in Diepsloot.
Giuseppe, who else is involved, and how did you guys manage to get all this together?
Okay, well, there's a lot of people involved, but the initiative is between Steyn City in association with Auto in general. And of course, then we've got a whole host of other supporters that are backing it.
Okay. And you said there's lots of stationery in here. There's also a sewn-in poncho, which is useful because it's waterproof, it's light-reflective. So, you know, when the rain comes down like it did last week here in South Africa and everybody's worried about floods and all the rest of it, you know, people often, the visibility of people is a problem, and particularly school kids. Now they'll be able to be seen. They'll be able to keep themselves dry. This is all very important.
Very important, and it's really going to make a difference to these kids. They really are wonderful little bags for the kids.
That's terrific. So no matter what the weather is like, many children who have to walk to school can now manage that, and they'll have a whole lot of stationery. They'll have all the equipment they need for the next year. That's terrific.
And
well done.
And a bag full of goodies. Thank you very much.
Very good work. No problem. Giuseppe, nice to talk to you. He's the CEO Steyn City Properties, Giuseppe Plumari, and he is getting ready to go off to Diepsloot with Maps Maponyane, with Touch, with a whole lot of other people from Auto in general and from Steyn City to go and hand out these bags. Good initiative, right? I don't think anyone has a problem with that. It sounds terrific.
Absolutely. Can you remember how exciting it was once upon a time as a child buying your new stationery?
I loved it.
Those crayons that you used to get.
And you didn't want to use them first.
No.
Because once you start using them, they don't look as good.
I saw some pics online about these trucks that are going to Diepsloot today from Steyn City.
Yeah.
The stuff in there is crazy. It must take them ages to get this together.
It's very good work, and we are supporting it here at touchcentral.fm as well. Okay, we have so much to get to this morning. Let's get into some news. Let's see what's happening. Mabali Moloi, she's been rearing to go because she wasn't here yesterday on Monday. She's been feeling a bit shitty, but she's back, and she's got every bit of info you could possibly wish to know. Mubs, what do we need?
Well, if you take a look at what's trending on Twitter, you will see hashtag Xbox 15, or Xbox is turning 15 this year. Mm-hmm. Can you believe it's been 15 years already of Xbox?
Yes, because I don't really play Xbox. What do I know?
No, it's just that, like, every time when you put a number to something, you realize how much older you actually are.
Mm-hmm.
So Xbox turned 15 this year. Just, you know, nice celebration. Nintendo, you know, being very kind. They're wishing them well, you know, as competitors. And just like some interesting stuff that they've got planned for, you know, their big 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
The team at Xbox are going to be spending the day on Xbox Live. They're going to be a lot of gamers who will be plugged in throughout the day today. Just some interesting stats over the last 15 years and how the company has grown. Number of Xbox players in the world, over 222 million.
Wow.
I actually thought that number would be bigger. But 222 million over that.
It is amazing how gaming is the biggest thing ever. And because people don't get together and game together, I mean, they're doing it virtually or they're doing it online. We don't see them in stadiums. You know, it's much bigger than rugby in South Africa at the moment, for example. You go to Loftus on a game day, and now you'll be there with about 400 people. But gaming is huge.
Yeah, it's absolutely ginormous. It really is.
And then the number of total gaming hours that gamers have accumulated over those 15 years, over 100 billion hours spent gaming. And remember, some people do this for their profession. Like, this is their job.
Hmm.
Yeah, man, Xbox. Also, I'm not a big fan of consoles. I don't know much about them. I mean, there's what? There's Xbox, there's Nintendo, and
then
there's
what? You sit there and you play games all
day.
No,
I really don't. I really don't.
Okay.
Well, when you consider just that number, although it doesn't sound that big, these things aren't exactly cheap. So the fact that many people are playing it and on this in the greater scheme of economics in the world.
And apparently they're going to be having all kinds of, you know, Microsoft are going to have all kinds of big deals available for the upcoming Black Friday situation, where people will be able to, you know, get some consoles at very reasonable prices, because these things aren't cheap, as Ben says. So look out for Black Friday specials.
Right. Even here in South Africa.
Yes. No, we've hopped onto that bandwagon.
By the way, I don't know the statistics, so I'm not just going to throw out a bizarre or random number, but I do know that the movie industry and the music industry combined is not as big as the gaming industry in terms of games, console games, computer games, that kind of thing. Much, much bigger than music and movies put together.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I can't remember the factor, but it's bigger. And that just shows you the power of gaming.
Well, you have to ask the question, is gaming bigger than porn? Because once you beat porn,
then you're the,
then
top.
You're the biggest. That's it.
Yeah. Top of the pops.
Porn is definitely the bar, the way the bar has been set.
Porn's the king and gaming is the prince. All right. What
else? Do we want to talk about WhatsApp and the fact that now you'll be able to make video calls? Yay.
Okay. Tell me more.
Well, yeah, Facebook's WhatsApp has added fully encrypted video calling to its messaging app. This happened earlier this week. I think it happened for Android devices earlier. I'm not sure if Apple are now on board as well. But it definitely was announced for Android devices a little bit earlier.
Well, you know what this is for, right?
Well, you see, this is a move that comes as privacy advocates are worried about the potential for government surveillance.
Yeah.
So they're already people, hands raised saying, no, Facebook, what are you trying to do here? We see right through you. So some people are worried about privacy issues.
Yeah.
But I suppose, you know, other people don't care. They just like the idea of now they're going to be able to make video calls on WhatsApp.
Now you can do it on your Apple.
Can you? Okay. Yeah. All right.
Press the little camera icon and away we go.
Okay.
It's not so much that it's privacy and blah, blah, blah. It's just going to be used for like sexting now. Now sexting will be in video.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's what we spoke about last week with Rich, about long-distance relationships now becoming virtual, so much so that all relationships will become virtual.
So WhatsApp, they have more than 1 billion users worldwide. They adopted end-to-end encryption earlier this year, making it technically possible for the company to read messages or listen to your calls. Yes, you are being watched. Do you have a problem with that, by the way, with the fact that Mark Zuckerberg and his team can eavesdrop on almost anything that you're doing on your phone?
I have more of a problem that our Minister of State Security, David Mashlobo, can see it, because we know what he gets up to in his spare time.
He hasn't got time to look at our lives, Gareth.
You don't think so?
He's
too busy with the Chinese hookers.
Neck deep in the Mumbella brothel.
Oh, dear. WhatsApp co-founder Jean Kwom revealed in an interview that the video calls will be rolled out to 180 countries within hours of the feature being introduced at an event in India.
Yes.
Yeah, sexting, I suppose. That's going to be the biggest thing. You just need a very reliable and secure network, right? Because you know those WhatsApp calls. I've never actually been able to make a successful WhatsApp call because my network is always so bad.
Yeah, I don't like WhatsApp calls. When people make WhatsApp calls to me, I call them back on a normal phone call.
But also, when they WhatsApp call you, you've got to use your data to take their call.
Ugh.
That sounds like a bit of a...
Oh, so it's not entirely free?
Well, no, because it's data.
Mm-hmm.
So they go, don't worry, I'll WhatsApp call you. I'm on Wi-Fi.
But then I'm not. Oh, okay.
It doesn't help me. Okay. Exactly. Yeah. Good point, Ben.
Take my data.
Right. How dare you?
It's like when people send you like...
Don't WhatsApp phone people.
It's like when people send you stupid 10 meg videos of like, I don't know, a guy falling off his bike. It's like, I don't need that. I just don't need that.
Shame. Shame. Ooh, shim.
Okay, People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive.
Who's that?
We've taken a rather interesting turn here, I think.
Who's the sexiest man alive?
Well, it's not you, Gareth. I checked.
No, it's not sure Gareth. All 111 kilograms of him, or 245 Ooh. Pounds. Yes, he is almost certainly the heaviest winner ever. Yeah. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, really?
I don't know about this, hey? I don't know about
Dwayne The Rock Johnson is the sexiest man alive?
He's been named... He's been declared People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive, joining an elite club of chiseled charmers, including the likes of Brad Pitt, Sean Connery, David Beckham.
Yeah.
He's 44 years old. Of course, he was involved in that whole WWE thing.
Yes.
And he was also, I think he's the highest earning actor for 2016.
Yeah, he's the busiest. I'm currently watching season 2 of Ballers. So good.
Okay, so Dwayne has had
the big star there.
He's had a very good year, both in the bank and then just also overall, because now he's won another title. Sexiest Man Alive. There you go.
Yeah, okay, well, Dwayne The Rock Johnson's not the worst choice in the world, but I don't think he... Is he sexy? I mean, would you want to be with him?
I don't know. He's a bit much for me. That physique is a bit too much, hey?
I just think that these polls are stupid because you can't have repeat winners, so therefore you can't take it seriously.
Look...
You should be a seven-time winner. Make this competitive.
Yeah.
Give it some credibility. Like, why is David Beckham not there still?
He still looks good. Flax was saying yesterday he's so good-looking. Did you hear us talking about it yesterday?
Yeah, pretty much for 10 minutes. We just spoke about how good-looking David Beckham is.
Yeah, it was the gayest show ever.
Is he here? Is he in the country?
He was here yesterday.
Because I saw a picture of him and Maps Maponyane, and I was like, well, that's a nice picture to look at.
Mm-hmm.
David Beckham is like, he's been chiseled by God in his own perfection.
Wow.
No, man, why are you saying that was the gayest show ever? You see, this is the thing that
No. We were all saying if we had to go gay, Beckham would have to be the guy.
No, but why does it have to be gay? Like, why does it have to be gay when one man compliments?
Because we're men, you immediately think. Okay,
yeah, but so I can compliment.
No, we weren't complimenting. We were looking to get savagely involved. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. No. We were being gay.
Oh no, I thought you guys were just, you know, acknowledging where David Beckham is good looking.
No,
we're forcing each other into corners.
Oh, okay, I see. I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. Because typically guys find, heterosexual guys find it a problem to compliment another man on their looks.
No.
I don't know why.
No problem here. No, we're very open-minded. We're very sophisticated, modern 21st century men. We don't give a shit. I mean, look at Flax's top knot.
Yeah, but if I was standing face to face with David Beckham, I don't think I'd say, listen, man, jeez, you are looking hot.
What would you say?
No, you would say it with your eyes, like any other self-respecting man would.
You hide it. You say, like, looks like you've been hitting the gym, eh?
Yeah. Like,
Michael,
that's not
the gayest
thing ever.
I bet you'd try to hide it.
All right, I don't know what the right answer is. I don't know what the appropriate response is. You see, girls go up to girls and they'll say, wow, you're looking amazing.
Mm.
Guys don't do that.
Why not?
I don't know.
Because some guys will then punch you because they're getting a morphine.
They've forgotten morphine. And then they'll murder you.
Those guys are stupid. I mean, what is the problem here?
Yeah, they may be stupid, but it still hurts when you get punched in the right in the kisser.
Also, women know what it goes into looking beautiful, right? So that's why they compliment each other, because they know, you know what, deep down, after a bath, you probably looked like shit a lot of the time. Mm. But you've made an effort here, and I really appreciate this in you. Whereas guys, it's like, yeah, you're good looking, so what, screw you.
Yeah, and mostly guys, it's jealous as well.
Oh, no, we are jealous of each other all the time as well.
Mm.
I mean, yes, you're complimenting her, but then deep down you're also saying...
Yeah, you wanted a trip down the stairs.
Yeah, like, yeah. Why must she look better than me?
I hate you, and furthermore, I hate you.
Exactly.
All right. Okay. All right, I've got some things to talk about. By the way, our guest coming up in a short while, Thapelo Mokoena, who's a South African actor, television presenter, best known... to a lot of people anyway, for presenting Fear Factor all those years ago. He's been the face of Hunters Dry. He's a real charmer when it comes to his wife. He surprised her with trips to Thailand. He's been in a couple of interesting situations. He was in a hit and run, which hospitalized him a while ago. He's got an interesting story to tell. And he's got a degree in live performance and motion picture. He produced some interesting work. And we'll talk to him about all the things he's involved in a little bit later on. That's Thapelo Mokoena. Cool, right?
Oh, yeah, no, he's very exciting. He's great. We love Thapelo.
All righty. I had stuff I wanted to talk about. So I found out more about Hillary losing her shit on election night. A Tuesday of catharsis for Donald Trump turned into an evening of rage for Hillary Clinton. The Democratic presidential nominee, anticipating the post-election reaction of many of her supporters, began shouting profanities, banging tables, and turning objects not nailed down into projectiles.
Okay.
Sources have told the American Spectator that on Tuesday night, after Hillary realized that she had lost, she went into a rage. R. Emmett Terrell reports... Secret Service officers told at least one source that she began yelling, screaming obscenities, and pounding furniture.
You just not listen to me when I talk.
No, I read the exact same thing. I've just found the whole story, and I want to read more. She picked up objects and threw them at attendants and staff. She was in an uncontrollable rage. The appearance of her campaign manager, John Podesta, at Manhattan's Javits Center and the dematerialization of his hitherto ubiquitous charge... perplexed in the first hours of Wednesday. They're still counting votes. Every vote should count, Podesta declared to a sad and stunned hall. Several states are too close to call, and we're not going to have anything more to say tonight, as Podesta recalcitrantly refused to recognize reality on Wednesday morning. Hillary called Donald Trump to offer congratulations. The juxtaposition of the campaign manager publicly vowing to fight around the time the candidate privately conceded the election left observers scratching their heads. Hmm.
Oh, I'd love to see some sort of footage. Someone's got a clip of this. They must do.
In the 90s, we published several pieces that documented her throwing lamps and books, Terrell tells Breitbart. This happened pretty often. She has such a foul mouth. You see, this Hillary I could have voted for. She has such a foul mouth that the Arkansas State Troopers learned a thing or two from her. She has a foul mouth and a good throwing arm. Good for you, Hillary. Jeez, she must have been pissed. Can you imagine?
Can you imagine the things that she's thrown at Bill over the years?
Oh.
Like Bill comes home, panties around his neck, and it's 3 a.m.
Hill, I just had a great night. Come over here, you son of a bitch. I'll throw this lamp at you. Isn't that funny?
They must go lamp shopping all the time. Imagine being like a local lamp store.
Yeah, if you're a lamp store in Chappaqua, New York, you're doing well. You've got an ongoing business with Hill and Bill. All right, when we come back, we've got lots of other stuff to get into this morning. There's plenty to talk about. We'll take your calls, 0861-555-189. And if you'd like to get hold of us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or you can message the show directly through the Touch Central app, or on WeChat on cliffcentral.com, you can do it. We're looking forward to hearing from you. What a bizarre ending to a song. It's The Weeknd with False Alarm. Kim Kardashian's in trouble again. Don't know if you know about this. You can call us on 0861-555-189. You can get hold of us on WeChat. You can message us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, or even straight from the Touch Central app. There are 1,000 ways to connect. Don't abuse the ability to do this by just sitting there with a mouthful of teeth. If you've got something to say, we want to hear from you. Right, Mubs?
That's right.
That's right. Okay, so here's Kim Kardashian. She is facing some backlash after her 60 Minutes interview. Do you want to hear this?
Okay.
Here's what we've got so far, and then we'll talk about it in a second.
Reality TV star and businesswoman Kim Kardashian sat down with 60 Minutes on Sunday as part of a story on social media influencers.
There may be no more recognizable face on social media than Kim Kardashian's. She has attracted more than 160 million followers by exposing her life seemingly minute by minute online. This month, her visibility became a liability when thieves in Paris tracked her and robbed her at gunpoint of a reported $10 million in jewelry. Jewelry she had shown on Instagram just a few days earlier. The incident is still being investigated, and she hasn't posted since. Before the robbery, she told us that being so public is what helped make her so popular and wealthy.
There are pitfalls, lack of privacy, loss of privacy, and that's not for everyone.
That's a pitfall.
Yeah. For me, I can handle it.
You're famous worldwide. Would that famous Kim Kardashian exist without social media?
Not in this way. I totally attribute my career to social media.
I have read that you have figured out how to monetize just the act of living.
I guess so, yeah.
The reality is she's a savvy businesswoman who was one of the first to turn those millions of eyeballs watching her online into millions of dollars. She posts pictures and gets paid for clothes she wears, products she uses, brands she endorses.
We've been talking to a number of young influencers. Many of them have different talents. They do comedy, they dance, they sing.
Yes.
What's your talent?
It is a talent to have a brand that's really successful off of getting people to like you, for you.
You've turned you into an empire. Worth in excess of $100 million, I've read.
So I would think that has to involve some kind of talent.
She's right.
Well, okay.
She's right. I can't disagree with that.
Can I just point out the bloody obvious here? Grandpa there on 60 Minutes going, "Oh, what's your talent?" This isn't 1873. I mean, it's the real world. You don't need to sing a dance or build a wall or be an whoever cares. She's turning people's eyeballs onto her. Can we get over this now?
Okay, so Ben, we know that.
So that is a talent.
Exactly. this whole "what's your talent?" That's like saying to a doctor, "I don't like your handwriting."
Mm, but so
you know how to make money. You're making money.
Yeah, but I think the problem here is that people get irritated that Kim Kardashian figured it out, and the rest of us didn't, and they get annoyed. Like, but how could she figure it out?
How could that ignorance?
Where it didn't even require that much, really.
No. Talent is one of the stupidest things in the world. Everyone's got a wow, what do you do with it? Like, I know in sports, you can see the most talented people in the world, and what do? They become drunks. And then you sit around and they watch cricket. They go, "Oh, that guy was better than him in high school." Yeah, okay, where are you now? You're at home with your stomach out on the couch at your parents' house.
It's true.
So tell me how important talent is again.
Yeah, but some of us have zero talent, Ben. I mean, not everybody has talent. Yeah,
you've got to admit, like, there's a talent that she's harnessed here. She lives her life very publicly. She does very ordinary things, but she's got cameras on her all the time. She has become a machine for churning out tons of money in endorsements and product placement.
Because she has application. Now, what Grandpa didn't ask her there is, like, tell us about your application, because that's what she's doing. No one ever gets asked that nowadays. How do you execute this? What's your application? What's your driving force? No, what's your talent? It just doesn't mean anything, though.
All right, Ben, let's compare it to the only person who we know you could relate to, is Gary Player.
Yeah, now, one person that you do actually worship.
Wasn't that talented?
What do Gary Player and Kim Kardashian have in common, and what do they not have in common?
Selling themselves completely, dare not, believing they are the greatest in the world. A huge amount of self-importance, cause that's what you need. And they don't have talent, but they know that what they can do is...
Gary Player doesn't have talent.
Growing up, he was...
What are you saying?
He was okay. He wasn't amazing. He was like 5'8", whatever. Didn't hit the ball the furthest. He wasn't the best putter. He wasn't the straightest shooter. But he practiced every day. After walking uphill to school both times, feeding his whole family, losing his brother to the Great War. His dad was in the mines. You know, Gary, he thought, I haven't got time for talent. Where is this going to come from? I'm working hard. Kim Kardashian's not the most beautiful woman in the world. She's definitely not the smartest.
Mm-mm.
She doesn't have talent. Why does she need talent? If you sit around at night and go, oh, I'm so talented, and write in your diary, I am talent, me, heart, me, that's going to, what? Get out in the coalface and do something with your life. And I've got to give it to Kim Kardashian. She's done that. She's like, you know what? I'm going to sell everything. I've got boobs and my mother's a witch.
A pimp.
And she sold all of that.
Her mother is a pimp because...
Exactly. She took stock of her shit.
Her mother is a pimp. And, you know, she could have stopped after Kim Kardashian, but she pimped out all of her children successfully.
Chloe, all Kim, of them. What's the other one's name? Courtney,
Kylie, Kendall. Even Rob Shame, even Fat Rob.
They've even managed to market him.
I mean,
who's buying Fat Rob? Flax, you're the expert in this field. Is anyone buying a piece of Fat Rob?
What happened was you get Fat Rob, but then you also get Black China. So it's like they split it 50-50. So it's a package deal you're getting on that one.
Okay. So
and then they just had a
you
baby.
You could buy Kim for $100 or you could buy a Fat Rob Black China combo for $25.
You can get the family set for a discount.
Do you think Honey Boo Boo sat down one day and said, I've got a talent?
No.
She ate and snorted and she realized that people want to see that shit because she applied herself.
Okay, Ben.
She ate it.
So all we need to do is just apply ourselves.
Yeah.
Find a niche and apply yourself and hope for the best. And then also count on people to lap it up. Because that's a key factor here.
Sure.
People have to buy into the madness in order for you to become successful.
You also need one defining moment.
Boo-boo. Yeah, you need one defining moment.
So
For Kim, it was the sex tape.
Yeah, sex tape. Bruce Jenner was the transition into a female.
That's hardly a moment, but it's a transition, yeah.
I mean, even the Kardashians' dad had that big court case.
Yeah, with OJ.
OJ?
OJ Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
Who else was there? Uh-huh. Courtney had her scandalous relationship with Scott Disick.
No. Oh, yeah, Courtney's with, yeah, okay. And then the other one?
Lamar Odom and Chloe.
The manly one, yeah.
And then Rob turning fat.
They all have that thing.
Your one defining moment, they have a wave,
Rob,
and they managed to ride this wave.
Rob turning fat.
Yeah, shame.
Worth in excess of $100 million, I've read.
So I would think that has to involve some kind of talent. You know, I do believe that the pros in my situation and my lifestyle have been more beneficial than the negative things.
And the money's not bad.
Not bad.
Would you want to be her?
Absolutely not.
No, never.
That's too much.
Would you want to be Fat Rob?
I wouldn't want to be Fat Rob, but there's not much wrong with Kim. Like, she doesn't go out of her way and do wrong things, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like,
all
in all, she's actually not a bad celebrity. She had, one bad sex tape. But other than that, not much has leaked about her that's bad. She doesn't do drugs.
Yeah.
She doesn't, have fights with people, stuff like that. She's just Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
It's just too much exposure, though. It's,
She says it's cool.
She's
more
not
present.
Like a Charlie Sheen.
You know what it is? Some people handle attention better than others.
She clearly does.
She clearly handles it better, but some people cave under that amount of attention.
Credit where it's due. Yeah. All right, listen to this. We've got to get to news and sport in a moment, but listen to this quickly.
However, not everyone was happy to see this interview. After it aired, some people took to social media to express their outrage.
Uh-oh.
One said that he doesn't want to live on this planet anymore. Seems a little extreme. Another said, quote, 60 Minutes, this is an embarrassment. Don Hewitt's show is officially dead. One viewer was convinced this was a sign of the apocalypse, saying Cubs in the World Series, Trump may be president, and 60 Minutes is devoting a segment to a Kim Kardashian interview. Hashtag, what's going on? But some came to her defense. At Kim Kardashian, yes, Queen K, hashtag 60 Minutes. And another saying, at Kim Kardashian, has single-handedly defined the meaning of social media. Love, hate her. She's extremely smart and beautiful.
Huh. Well, there we go. I think we've closed that topic off.
Okay. And we managed to upset Ben, which is always...
I'm not actually really upset. Like, I have my views on people. When people think they can be Kim Kardashian by just literally pouting on Instagram, I get upset. What she's doing, good for her.
Yeah, well, that was the surprise to me. Not that Ben was angry, but that he actually thinks good for her, you know?
You know how much tax she pays?
Yeah.
There we go. When in doubt, just ask how much tax people pay, mm-hmm. and then you realize how important you really are in life. That guy, Grandpa, with the interview there, doesn't pay anything close to what Kim Kardashian does, so he can shut up.
All right, let's move on, everybody. We got some news to get to and some sport, and then after 8 o'clock, Thapelo Mokoena is going to join us. What have we got in the news, Mabs?
Okay, so NPA head Sean Abrams says that it is unreasonable for Freedom Under Law and the Helen Suzman Foundation to give the president just 3 days to decide whether or not to suspend him. Abrams not going down without a fight here. He has responded to the civil society group's court application to have him removed from office. And in his affidavit, Abrams stresses that the president has not yet decided whether he should be suspended. He says that the president has asked for more time to decide, and 3 days is just not going to cut it. Abrams also added that the court should not be pressed into a hearing simply because there is a concern that Pravin Gordhan could be charged again.
Hmm.
And he has also said that the NPA will not be held ransom by civic organizations such as Freedom Under Law or the Helen Suzman Foundation.
Who's his friend at the moment? The poor Sean Abrams has got no one on his side.
He doesn't have any friends, so it's pretty much every man for himself.
No.
And it doesn't seem like he's going to go down without a fight here.
I heard he can't even get a table at the Saxon World Tribune.
Oh, my goodness. And you know,
once
you've been left out of the fold of the Saxon World Tribune,
then you're really in the cold.
You are clearly not important enough anymore.
Poor guy.
Okay. Now, Julius Malema, of course, has been in the news over the last several days. Part of the reason for that, you know, are some of the things that he has been talking about with regards to land grab and, you know, with regards to the slaughtering of white people, which a number of organizations have spoken out against. Of course, the FF Plus came out and spoke out against this. A number of
FF Plus?
Yes, Freedom Front Plus. Mm-hmm. They spoke out against it, as did quite a number of people from the religious sectors. And so what the EFF and Malema have now decided to do was to take an opportunity of, I don't know if you've seen this viral video of a black man being shoved into a coffin, supposedly by...
Is that for real?
Apparently it is. So a black worker who gets shoved into a coffin by two white farmers who filmed the whole thing. And obviously this man is being, you know, treated very badly and terribly and poorly. And so the economic freedom fighters have now called for the farm where this black man was allegedly assaulted to be occupied.
All right.
So you see, this is, there's a lot happening here, right? Obviously, the EFF stepping in on what is a very terrible situation, if it is indeed true.
Yeah.
But then them also turning it into an opportunity for themselves.
Yeah, but that's what politicians do.
Yeah, that's what politicians do.
Do we even know when this supposed video happened?
I don't know when this video happened, but there are two farmers who will be appearing in the Middelburg Magistrates Court today. Gentlemen by the name of Oosthuizen and Martens, they're going to appear. Allegedly, they're the two who are responsible for this video being filmed and then also for the black farmer being treated so terribly.
What I've got to say is just you've got to be really stupid to make a film like this. You've got to be really stupid to treat another person like this. You've got to be an awful human being. But it's got nothing to do with the EFF.
No, it doesn't. But they're not going to, this is not going to be a missed opportunity for them, and so that's what they've decided to do. So speaking out yesterday, they said that these white racist farmers in Middelburg should be made to undergo the same experience. This is some of the things that they've
said.
That's
like an eye for an eye. I mean, shouldn't you be bigger and better than that? That's the whole point. It's like try to be a better person, not try to be the same as them. Trying to be the same as them is a very low standard for everybody to aspire to.
The incident took place at J.M. De Beer Boerderij next to Komati Power Station. This is now according to a statement released by the EFF.
Yeah.
These gentlemen are charged with kidnapping and assault with intent of grievous bodily harm, which is why they'll be appearing in court today. And the EFF said this humiliation can be based on nothing else but his blackness. The worker in question's name is Victor Tabile Mlotswa. And, you know, the EFF basically, well, firstly, they want this farm to be occupied. And then secondly, they want these two farmers to also undergo the same treatment that they put Victor through.
Hmm.
Man, there's always stuff happening in this country.
Well, Julius Malema upped the ante at this Free State hearing that he was involved in. And he said a whole lot of things that had got white people all furious.
Yes, yes.
You know, can you believe what Julius said? I mean, the messages that I saw moving around on social media, on Twitter, on Facebook, people going, this is terrible, this is terrible. You know, what do you expect from him? This is what happens to people. Julius has been watching what happened in America. He saw how you can get away with racism and still get elected. Now he's trying some of that here. That's all it is. He's feeling like he's not the Donald Trump of South African politics until he starts talking like that, starts becoming racist. So let him do it.
Just yeah.
Have to take it seriously.
See, some of the other political parties have also been speaking out against this, and they've been saying people need to calm down about the things that Julius Malema says because his outbursts are clearly to get a reaction.
Yeah.
And, you know, he also recently said that had the EFF been in power, F.W. de Klerk would, like, be serving a prison sentence at the moment. And so other political parties saying, everybody just relax. This is what Malema does. This is his rhetoric. This is part of his strategy.
Well, I'll tell you who's sick of Julius Malema talking about him is Johan Rupert. Did you hear about this? He said, stop lying about me. Listen to this. This is a speech that he gave.
I have to thank Mr. Julius Malema.
Let me just see if I can get this a bit louder. It's very soft. Hang on.
I have to thank Mr. Julius Malema. Because if it hadn't been for his narratives, I was in danger of becoming totally irrelevant. I mean, you guys have forgotten about us. Firstly, I don't live in Stellenbosch. I don't know how I can be part of the Stellenbosch Mafia. We live in Somerset West. And I haven't been given an award for so long until Mr. Malema arrived. And he pointed out to me that I was running the ANC, the DA, this Sarge, by the way, like El Sarge. They only get in trouble, especially recently, by the way. The kind of, you want to talk against us? And I forgot the central bank, they were in as well. And now, of course, people have left him, and they now say, I'm controlling Julius. I've never met him. But I did send him a text message through a friend that if he doesn't stop lying about me, I'm going to tell the world that I actually do give him money. All I have to do is to put the little text out and then make it look like it was an accidental direct message that... And lie. All I have to say is, I've met you, I like you, and I'm actually backing you. So stop lying about me. And I won't lie about our relationship. I've never met you, but I promise you, two can play the game.
That's clever.
You know...
That's clever, because then he would create the... He would make people think that he's backing Julius, and then Julius' whole argument fall to pieces.
The funny thing about that is I actually imagine the two of them, you know, sitting at a table together without cameras and without the rest of us eavesdropping in. The two of them would actually probably just have a nice conversation and just chat.
Yeah. And Johann Rupert would say, thanks for stopping me from becoming irrelevant. And Julius would say, well, how many millions can I have? And the two of them would figure it out.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Politics,
wow.
Man.
Can you imagine
it's
that?
Just, it's just the way the game is played.
Right.
Politics.
Well, there's something interesting. What is it? Already 8 o'clock. Okay, we better get to Tapelo Mokoena. He's coming up next. And plenty of other good stuff. It's a Wednesday morning. It's the 16th of November.
So we'll
everybody.
Just do sport tomorrow then.
Did I leave sport out again? Sorry, Ben. He sits there with that sad look on his face like, oh no,
whatever.
He's forgotten and ignored me again. Here's the sport with Ben.
The Australian selector guy, Rod Marsh, he's walked. Told you he was under pressure. He was talking about only being 4 players safe for the next test. Well, he's not even safe. He's gone.
Yeah.
Just like that. In the space of an hour. See, Gareth, cutting news on the Pulse Sports stories.
All right.
That's what this is about.
I hear you.
So, yeah, Australia really are just in the state of worry right now. They've never seen before. But who's going to take on the selector role? Well, there's obviously a board of selectors, and the coach is part of this as well. So he's the head guy. And he was always going to leave after the series anyway, so he was on his way out, and now he's just being kicked properly up the backside. So that is the next test will be 24th November in Adelaide, the pink ball test. In tennis, Andy Murray will be in action tonight. He'll be taking on Kei Nishikori. Everyone loves Andy Murray now that he's world number one, because mm-hmm. everyone loves a winner. In football last night, Mozambique's won, South Africa won. Pretty satisfactory result. It's a friendly, though. It doesn't really mean anything. The next time a final, we're playing for reals, though, in about 9 months' time. In other international friendlies, 0-0 between Germany and Italy, 2-2 between England and Spain, and 0-0 between France and the best of Africa, Ivory Coast. In rugby news, the Boks will be without Ibn Etzebeth this weekend because he's got cast. But Alistair Kosir should really just send the guy home. He's played all season. He really is just becoming like mutton. He's just so finished. So he's only 25. He's become quite conscious of the fact he's probably playing too much. He's taking a break. Not going to make the big money in England at the end of the season. He will come home, as will Damien de Allender, who believes that the preseason is so essential to building up some form and having a good break, so he won't get the big payday in Japan either. Really mature steps from these young players. That is this weekend, Italy-SA. That'll be at 3 o'clock. Lots of other international matches to look forward to, and a whole bunch of more football coming back with the leagues returning from the international break. More on that tomorrow.
All right, thank you very much, Ben. There's a look at the sport when we come back to Pelo Mokoena and a whole lot more. CliffCentral.com, TouchCentral.fm. You know how to get hold of us. Tell us what's on your mind this morning.
Does your education have 20/20 vision? Apply at Vega for a world-class BA or BCom degree from an internationally accredited institution, and in 2020 you'll be ready to take the world by storm. Vega is the only school in South Africa focused upon the fast-paced, high-stakes field of branding, one of the most powerful and exciting global industries. Vega is a brand of the Independent Institute of Education and is South Africa's premier school of brand, design and business. Visit vegaschool.com.
At SumSums Banking, we know it's difficult to plan for your retirement. Well, here's something you can count on. We'll work tirelessly to charge you management fees, performance fees, administration fees, and trading costs so that you can expect 60% less retirement money than you should. Because in your old age, you want to expect the unexpected.
At Signia, we won't help ourselves to 60% of your retirement money because we use revolutionary technology to eliminate unnecessary fees. Talk to your financial advisor or go to signia.co.za. That's SYGNIA. Signia Asset Management is an authorized FSP. T's and C's apply.
CliffCentral.com.